Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. Don't forget to check both of them out. They have both have lots of different things in them that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including a number of deposits of wisdom by our good friend John Deaney. John's been a longtime member of our Brain Trust and an outstanding supporter of all the things that we do. He's president of Management Performance Network and the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. He's the leader of the most successful alternative board organization in the United States, and he's our good friend John Deaney. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back.
It's good to have you.
You worry me because you always say that I have the leading TAB franchise in the United States. And there are a couple people, finally, after 10 years, closing in on me, and I'm afraid if one of them passes me, you'll kick me off the show.
I'm afraid you're right. I mean, listen, John, we only have number one on our show. We don't have chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate show.
Okay.
Only the best. So you're gonna have to get busy.
That's what I needed motivation. Now
you're gonna have to turn up the energy a little bit there, John. You can't let these other people get ahead of you.
Okay.
Hey, John. Are you still obsessing about the what you call the boomer bust?
I am. We talked about that.
Remind the audience what the boomer bust is.
Well, as we all know, the boomers are the biggest age wave, the biggest small business formation wave, the biggest
78 million.
Right. The biggest asset holding wave in the history of the world, and. You know, we've always done everything at once. We all went to college at the same time. We all had kids. Well,
yep.
Or didn't have kids at the same time,
yep.
According to the numbers. And we're all going to be selling our businesses at the same time. And right now, we dominate senior management and small business ownership in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear that we are not paying enough attention to what happens when we all go to sell our businesses. And also, we are so accustomed to people accommodating us, we are not being very accommodating as managers to the differences with the new people coming into our businesses.
Well, you know, look at the generations, the GI generation, the people who gave birth to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many kids were in your family, but there were five siblings. I have four brothers and sisters.
Yeah, four of us, yeah.
And I had two children. You had two children.
Correct.
So what is that? I mean, that's one of the reasons why. Those are two reasons why.
That number's 43 million.
Well, I thought it was less than that. I thought it was more like 30 million.
That's 43
okay.
For Gen X.
John Deaney says 43, and and so, of course, what John says is correct. But anyway, it's still almost half of what the boomers are, and so when you spread that across the country, that doesn't provide enough people to buy our businesses when you and I get ready to sell them.
No, and the competition for staff is going to be terrific, and the competition
it already is.
It is, and the competition to sell your business, you better have a tip top, ship shape business if you want to be selling it to one of these Gen Xers, and it can't take 70 hours a week to run it because
yep.
They're not interested in that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. You know, John, I've been posing this idea that a lot of people are concerned about, you know, all the different reasons why the economy might be bad right now, what our future may hold with regard to the financial industry, the subprime meltdown, you know, the price of oil, et cetera, et cetera. I think we could have a long-term systemic problem with growth in the United States because of what we've been talking about, and that's the fact that right now there are 2 million jobs going wanting in the United States, qualified jobs that we can't fill, and that number is probably not getting any smaller. I mean, isn't that a threat to our into our sustained growth?
It is. I think we can take a little bit of solace from the fact that China, Japan, and Europe are in much worse shape than we are.
Well, yeah, but as you say, that's cold comfort, really.
Yeah, true. But on the microeconomic level, the question is, can you as a small businessman get the one employee you need?
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting tougher, too, because the competition, the people are scarce to start with, and corporate America, as we have seen in the paper, just keeps upping the compensation and upping the stakes because they have so many more resources than we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time that has been saving our bacon with regard to this small business owners has been helping us out so much has been something that I know you've been talking about too, and that's technology.
Yes.
If it weren't for technology, I don't even know where we'd I don't even want to think about where we'd be right now, John.
Well, I've had two technology incidences last week, one good, one bad. I had a member who just lost his controller. She's a CPA. He's a small company, 21, 22 employees. And she moved to Texas. It's a semi-rural area of Texas outside San Antonio. She moved here 2 years ago for the lifestyle from Los Angeles. 2 weeks ago, her former employer, a CPA firm in Los Angeles, called her up and said, "We want you to come back to work for us." And she said, "I have no interest in moving back to Los Angeles." They said, "No, that's okay. We'll pay your California salary. We'll send you a computer.
Holy mackerel.
Stay home. We'll send you the work, send it back. We can't get anybody here."
Heck, I'd take a deal like that.
Of course. Of course, it's and you know, how can he compete with that?
Yeah, he couldn't. They can't. And you know what? 5 years ago, they would never have made an offer like that.
No, but they're as desperate as we are.
Yeah.
And you know,
and that is a ripple through the economy that's just going to be building and building, isn't it?
It is. And it's coincidentally, I went to coach another business owner who had the reverse problem. He has acquired another operation about 150 miles away, and he can't find a bookkeeper. And he said, "I've looked, I've advertised, I've networked." And I said, "Why don't you just ship all the work up to your central office and have that bookkeeper do it?" Gee, I never thought of that.
Stand by, John. Quick break. Right back with our good friend John Deaney. He and I will be right back 20 after. I'm Jim Blessingame. Stay with me.
Your name in lights above it. Your big debut. It's like a dream come true.
Hello, this is Abraham Lincoln. Jim, I always feel better about myself after I'm on the show. I don't have any bouts of depression.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My pleasure as always. John Deaney is our guest. John, give us your website, please.
We are at mpninc.com. That's where Management Performance Networks resides. And you can go directly into our TAB information at TAB San Antonio or nationally at tabboards.com.
All right. And so that's and of course, give us a 20-second commercial on TAB Boards.
We bring together business owners without competitors, vendors, or customers who meet once a month to help improve each other's business. It's having 200 years of management experience tackling your problems. It's a powerful tool.
There you go. And you can find out that more at tabboards.com. All right, John, we're talking about and folks, this is one of the reasons why John's such a great resource. Not only does he have his own background, but he's out there where the rubber meets the road, helping people like you and me run our businesses. So he's seeing a lot of different stuff out there, a lot of different approaches, a lot of different flavors of challenges and opportunities out there. And one of the things you're seeing is this generational situation. You know, John, I've been talking about the generational waves and the challenges and opportunities that it creates for a long, long time. We actually have experts who are generational experts, And of course, that's what they do, is they study the generations. You're out there seeing, you're in the marketplace, seeing the generational wave hitting the marketplace, and that's your perspective.
Yes, and they are very different workers. Both Gen X and the millennials that come behind them are need to be handled very differently in the workplace than the boomers are accustomed to. For neither of those generations does shut up, do your job, and get a paycheck work very well.
You know, when I was in my 20s, you know, my boss, all he had to do was give me a little gentle nudge, and I was, you know, I was 3 feet off the ground heading to do his bidding. You know, yes, sir, no, sir,
right.
Whatever you say, sir.
No,
you
that know, authority response isn't there anymore.
No, it's not there, is it?
No. I'll tell you an interesting anecdote I heard from a large corporate HR director. She said that they were going through the two monitor wars. Everybody needed to have two monitors on their desk. And she said what was amusing is the baby boomers perceived them as a sign of authority, power, recognition, right? The company is spending X amount of money on me to give me a second monitor because I am important. And the baby boomer managers were doling them out that way. Well, I'm only going to give a second monitor to my best employee.
Right.
The millennials, the young and middle 20-somethings in the workplace, don't get it at all. Their response is, wait a minute, the guy down the hall gets to work with a sharp pencil. You want me to work with a dull pencil. Why is that?
This is like where no matter who won the soccer game, everybody gets a trophy.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. This is a generation that
no matter how, you know, whether you won or not, everybody celebrated. Everybody got to celebrate.
And you know, my own experience is, if somebody doesn't come in every week or two, and just say, hey, you've showed up another 10 days in a row, you were on time, and you did all the work we gave you, really appreciate it, they start getting disconnected. They start getting very distressed. I read a book recently, they called them the uber-stroked generation. But it's true.
What do you think that they think about hearing you say this about them, John? Do they recognize themselves?
I'm sure they bristle a bit. You know,
you think they don't recognize themselves?
I don't know if they realize that. I think it's ingrained in them. On the other hand, I find
send all cards and letters to John Deaney in care of.
No, on the other hand, I find them to be dependable, hardworking. They have an excellent work ethic in the workplace. They are not afraid to tackle something. And, of course, they're technology embracers. Like I said, sharp pencil, dull pencil. They just want the latest and greatest. Not because it's cool. They want it because they want to do everything faster. And all that's great.
If you're building a website today and you're talking to anybody who's over 30, you're not building a very good website.
Technologically. Now, whether that website
from a user experience, from a user experience standpoint, too.
Right. But whether it actually speaks to your customers is another question.
But my point is, you got to assume. I mean, you just got to be able to. That's one thing about the technology. I mean, that's one thing about the younger generations. They are invaluable. They are irreplaceable when it comes to technology, in my opinion, and the way we use our technology.
True. My son called me, and my 17-year-old called me into his room the other day. He said, here, Dad, I want to show you something. I downloaded this free program, Google SketchUp, and I want to show you what. And he had duplicated the interior of our house, room by room.
Wow.
The furniture, the correct paintings on the wall, the rug pattern. I mean, it was all right there. I'm sitting there with my jaw hanging out. I said, when'd you do this? He said, just fooling around.
Yeah. Yeah, you better be nice to these guys, John. You better start being nice to them. They may own you one day.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Hey, John, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
We'll see you next time. John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen, with Performance Management Networks and also Tab Boards. Quick break. Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. It don't matter.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.